Welcome to the LeanZone.com podcast, where we discuss construction contracts, liens, and bonds. And now, our host, Alex Barthet.
So thanks for having me. We're going to go over the lien law and kind of go through three issues that we see clients make mistakes on. So three traps and how to avoid them. Let's get started. So the first thing we're going to talk about are three unknown lien and bond exceptions that could cost you or save you. So we all think we understand the lien law, and I'm going to explain what the rule is and then tell you about the exception to the rule that either is going to save you or it could cost you a lot. So let's go through the first one. The first rule, which is that your notice to owner on a job that has a lien, or the notice to contractor, that's the document that goes out when the job is bonded, has to be sent no later, or received actually, no later than 45 days from your first work on the job. So that's the rule that we all remember. But if you have a job without a bond, so you have lien rights, if you have a direct contract with the owner, so for example, service work, you don't need to send that notice to owner. That notice to owner is only required on jobs where you have lien rights when you are a subcontractor or below. Now
when we do residential homes, mm-hmm. they make us, any job over $5,000, we have to have a notice to owner, even if we're dealing directly with the owner of the house. Why is that?
I think you're thinking over 25.
Notice of commencement.
Right.
You see, I'm all screwed up. Okay.
And it's probably over 2,500. That's usually most municipalities is 2,500. So yeah, that notice of commencement is required. You typically what happens is you'll fill it out and the owner will sign it and have it notarized, and then you record it and post it on the job site. And without that posted on the job site, the inspector won't give you your first inspection.
And on commercial, we also need a notice of commencement?
Mm-hmm. Only to the extent you are in direct contract with the owner.
With the owner, okay.
Right? So if you are not in direct contract with the owner, the contractor, whoever that is, they should be making sure that that notice of commencement gets prepared and recorded.
So let's say I do a chiller for an owner of a building, mm-hmm. and I go ahead, I get my permit, I do a notice to owner,
right.
but I never did a notice of commencement. Now I'm in trouble?
Not necessarily, but if you never did the notice of commencement, you call for your first inspection and the inspector comes up and says, where's your notice of commencement? No inspection. Call me back when you get it done and recorded.
Is there a time limit for notice commencement?
You're supposed to do it before you commence any work.
Okay.
There's really no significant problem if you don't, but that's when you're supposed to do it.
All right.
Make sense? All right, so if you have a direct contract with the owner, you don't need to send that notice to owner. Now, you still should send the notice to owner. It should be good practice for you. Your internal procedure should be that any contract over a certain amount, whatever that number is that you decide internally, whether it's $500, $2,500, every job should get noticed, whether you have a direct contract or not. It's good. It's just good insurance to have that you've sent the notice. We have had clients where that process has saved them because they didn't think the job that they didn't think they needed a notice to owner, but it turns out that they did, and they just routinely send notice to owners on jobs over a certain amount. Service, construction, it didn't matter. They have that process. So you all should figure out what that is, and then you just know that if the job is bigger than X, you're going to send that notice to owner. So if the job has a bond, if the job is bonded, then the other exception you need to know about is that if you have a direct contract with the bonded contractor, you don't need to send a notice to owner. So there's an owner, let's say it's a public job, that owner, that municipality hires a general contractor, that general contractor gets a payment and performance bond as required by the municipality. They hire you. You still have rights on that bond, even if you never sent a notice to owner. And on a bonded job, it's technically called a notice to contractor. And the reason you still have those rights is because you have a direct contract with the bonded contractor, and if you are entitled to be paid, your security is based on his bond, and they know you're there because they signed a contract with you. You don't need to give them notice of your existence because they already know. So I've had clients come to me and say, Alex, I screwed up. I never sent my notice to contractor on this job. And we would look it up and we'd say, well, you didn't need to because you have a direct contract with the bonded contractor. So remember that if you are the sub and you have a direct contract with the bonded contractor, then you don't need that notice to contractor. And again, as I told you before, you still should do it. Again, you should just have a habit of knowing that if a job is a certain amount, then you're going to send out a notice to owner, a notice to contractor. Now, if you use a notice service, they use what's called a combined form. It says notice to owner / notice to contractor, and it covers both private jobs where you have lien rights and private and public jobs where you have bond rights. They have one piece of paper that does both. So,
okay. I'm a little confused here because if you're doing a building, if you're working in a building, you're working for a contractor, you're always going to get a notice to owner. What's the notice to contractor? It doesn't make sense to me. Am I missing something?
Well, okay, so give me your example one more time. I want to make sure I understand.
I go to ABC Building.
Uh-huh.
And I am working through Turner Construction.
Okay.
And I tell Nini or whatever, she's going to do her notice to owner.
Right.
Because I'm working in that building.
Right.
What's the notice to contractor? I don't get it because the contractor hired me, so why am I giving him a notice?
You don't need to give him – so the analysis you always have to do is, do I have lien rights or is there a bond on the job? That's always question number one.
Right.
And once you determine that, then you're going to figure out what notice needs to be sent, if any. Now, most people just want to simplify this administrative process and they just say – and that's the rule I told you. You're going to pick a number and you're going to just send it out. And if you use a service – they're going to send a form that's called a notice to owner / notice to contractor. So then you don't even have to worry about whether the notice needs to go to the contractor or the owner because they're going to do everything. But to answer your question specifically so you understand why, if you were working for Turner on a job and that job and Turner did not have a bond, then in order to have lien rights, you need to send a notice to owner. Now, on that exact same job,
right,
if Turner had a payment bond,
right,
you don't need to send the owner a notice to owner.
I got it.
You would send, actually, technically, you don't even need to send Turner anything because you have a direct contract
right
with them.
Right.
But you would still send what's called a notice to contractor. But again, if you use the service, it's the exact same physical piece of paper that they would send.
Right.
So.
And when they do it and they send it to notice to owner, notice to contractor, it's the same price, right?
Correct. It's all the same thing.
You know,
correct. And they send it to everybody.
Okay. All right.
They'll send it to the owner, to the contractor, to the surety, everybody.
All right.
Okay, so that was rule number one. Let's talk about rule number two, which is that you need to send your lien or notice of performance and nonpayment within 90 days of your last work. So that's the rule that everybody knows and understands.
Mm-hmm.
The exception to that is that on bonded public jobs, you don't need to send that notice of performance and nonpayment when you have a direct contract with the bonded contractor. So you have the municipality, the bonded contractor, and then you don't need to send a notice of performance and nonpayment to preserve your rights within that 90 days. Again, you should still do it just because it's always just good practice to do it, but it's not required in order to preserve your right on that contractor's bond. Now, this is a very narrow exception because that's an exception that exists only on public jobs.
Right.
On private bonded jobs, you still need to send that 90-day notice. You have a question?
Because sometimes there's some confusion as to what is considered your work, what isn't considered work. For example, we sub out the test and balance. It's one of the last things we do at the job. Is that considered our work? Let's say the TMB, our TMB company would go there. Does the 90 days start from the last day TMB was there? Let's say that we did not
yes.
report.
Yes.
What about warranty?
No.
Warranty. So let's say the unit went down before we got paid and we have to go back there to fix it. That doesn't count.
90 days is from your last work, and last work is work that either you or someone you hire is obligated to perform in order to get paid. And it can be base contract work or approved change order work. It does not include warranty work, it does not include punch list work, and it does not include getting an inspection. So, as an example, if you show up and you've done all your work and you finish the job, a week later, you show up again with the inspector and you just stand there and he looks around and he passes you, the day of your last work is not the day you got the inspection passed, it's the week before when you actually did the work.
This episode is brought to you by the Miami Construction Forum. This invitation-only group of construction professionals of all sizes and trades meets monthly for an informal lunch-and-learn session on current topics of interest, from getting paid and safety to bonding and insurance. To see the upcoming topics and request your invitation, visit MiamiConstructionForum.com.
So when you look at your reports to determine when last work is, you can't use, well, I passed my inspection this date. That's my last work date. It's actually when you actually did
physical work.
That entitled you to be paid something, and that work has to be not punch list work and not warranty work. So it's always better to err on the side of an earlier date, and it's always better to lien or send your notice of non-payment early. And the reason you want to do it early is that a judge, after the fact, can go back and look and say, you know, you said your last work was this date. I think it was actually 2 weeks before. Now, if you recorded your lien on the 89th day, when the judge, 12 months from now, goes back in time and moves your last date of work 2 weeks early, now your lien is late. But if you lien or send your notice of nonpayment early, and the judge does that, you still have 90 days to do it. Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So internally, you should not be waiting until to the last minute. I would suggest to you, when you get to about day 60 from what you think is last work, that's when you need to say, what are we doing? How are we going to protect our rights? Is it going to be a lien? Is it going to be a bond? And then you should start the process. Because keep in mind, it also takes time to do the lien or bond. If you use a service, if you use us, you know, it's going to take a couple of days. I mean, we can turn it around in a day, but that's like all hands on deck, especially with a lien. We got to send it. We got to prepare it, send it, sign it, notarize, send it back, take it to recording. And on a bond claim, that 90 days is the day that the surety actually receives it. So you have to add now in some mailing time. So if you're on day 89 and you need to send your bond claim, you know, you have to do it that day and overnight it. So they get it on the 90th day.
70 would be a good day to start. Yeah. And also as a courtesy to the contractor, saying, hey, we don't want to do this, but you're running out of time. Because you don't want to wait till the last day and then tell them, I'm leaving you tomorrow.
That is correct. And I would suggest to you, even that extra 10 days between your 70 and my 60 makes a difference. I would say at 60 days is really when that conversation needs to start happening.
You hear that, Mimi?
And the reason is that, think about it, 20 days, right? So from 70 to 90, that's 20 days. That's 3 weeks. I mean, think about it, 3 weeks is like that.
I know she looks at me every time I tell her, and it's like, hey, it's time to start talking about lien to these people, and it seems like an uneasy subject, but I know that we'll run out of time.
Absolutely, you will run out of time. Those 3 and even the 4 weeks, it'll go by in no time. Yes, and then the benefit of having someone like me is that I'm always someone that you can blame. So when you talk to them and it is an uncomfortable conversation, you can say, look, I don't have a choice. My lawyer, you know, he says I got to do this. I got to do it. So you just blame me. It makes your life much easier. But I would tell you, in my experience, most folks know this process. No one is going to get offended when you tell them you have to protect your lien rights. I mean, we even have folks where they lien, and then they keep waiting. And then we get to the end of the 1 year, because you have to file suit on your lien within a year of the recording date. That's actually the next thing we're going to talk about. And sometimes we have to file a lawsuit just to preserve that claim. We have a client now who's getting sued by one of his subs, but the suit is solely for the purpose of preserving that one-year deadline to keep the lien in place because he didn't have a choice. His 1 year is up, so if he doesn't file the lawsuit, he loses his lien right. All right, so we talked about rule number two. Let's talk about rule number three. You need to file suit within 1 year of the recording date of your claim of lien. When you record a lien, that lien sits on the property for a year. At the end of the year, that lien automatically is extinguished. There's nothing that anyone has to do. At the end of the year, it is gone. Now, some people think that what you can do to keep that lien alive is record another lien or re-record the lien. There is no such thing as re-recording the lien. That is not something you can do. You have one choice and one choice only, and that is you're either going to let the lien fall into abandonment or you are going to file a lawsuit to foreclose on the claim of lien within 1 year, by the end of that year. So the exception to this rule is that there's one other thing that you have to do if you have a direct contract with the owner, and that is at least 5 days before that one year expires, you need to send what's called a contractor's final affidavit. And it's a document that you prepare and sign under oath, and you send it to the owner. And in essence, it says, I have a contract with you, I've done this work, and these are the people below me that are still owed money. And again, this document is called the contractor's final affidavit. It needs to be served on the owner no later than 5 days before you file this lawsuit. If you don't send that notice, then you have no lien rights.
Everything's against us, huh?
Yes. God. Yes. Now, this is only if you have a direct contract with the owner. So service work is a perfect example. If you do service work, as a subcontractor, so you have a direct contract with the owner. When it comes time to record your lien, you need to know that if you have to file a foreclosure action, you need to send this additional notice. I would suggest to you, and which is what we typically try to do, when you know you have a direct contract with the owner and you're going to record your lien, that you at that moment prepare your contractor's final affidavit. Because what happens is the lien gets sent to recording, it gets recorded, and then a copy gets sent to the owner. Well, you can send with the owner, with that copy, this other document you need, which is called the contractor's final affidavit.
At the same time?
Yes.
You don't have to wait to the 5 days before, you just do it at the same time, is that what you're saying?
Correct. You can do it any time before, no later than 5 days before you actually file the lawsuit.
That makes sense.
If you do it when you do the lien, when you have a direct contract with the owner, then you won't forget. Now, technically, under the lien law, in order for an owner to make what's called a proper final payment, they're supposed to get from you this contractor's final affidavit, not when you lien, but when you actually go pick up your final payment. Most owners are not sophisticated enough to know to demand this. But you may run into an owner who says, no, I'm not going to give you your final payment until you give me a contractor's final affidavit. Just know that that's actually the right way to do it as an owner. But if that doesn't happen, you don't get paid, you fast forward, now you have to record your lien. At the same time you record your lien, you should prepare and send this contractor's final affidavit. The lien law, as you have gathered, is tremendously complicated. It's got lots of rules. It's got lots of exceptions. The exceptions have exceptions. So knowing some of these exceptions and how they work, you'll be better able to deal with them as they come up in the course of your administration of your construction projects.
Thanks for listening to the LeanZone.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or in your favorite podcast app. For articles, videos, and forms on this and other construction topics, head over to the LeanZone.com.